So, in Genesis 21, Sarah now is laughing, but the laughter's different. And let's set up the contrast. The laughter before and the laughter after. The laughter before is a laughter of disappointment, of doubt, of, oh, there are strands of bitterness running through this. God keeps promising and promising and promising and promising. And where is the fulfillment? When is this going to happen? And now, see, Sarah and Abraham are in their 90s. And just by the way, God seems to do it this way. He seems to arrange that everything gets more and more impossible. And when it is absolutely and completely impossible, that's when he acts. Kind of tough on Abraham and Sarah. It's not all that easy to believe those promises that do not happen, that keep dragging along and dragging along. And you can understand the disappointment, the bitterness, and the laughter, can't you? But Genesis 21, and Sarah says in verse 6, God has made laughter for me. Verse 7, who would have said that Sarah would nurse children? Now the laughter is different. It's the laughter of surprise, the laughter of, he did it after all, of joy. Hey, what's the name of Sarah and Abraham's boy? Isaac. Who knows what the word Isaac means? Actually, in Hebrew, it's Yitzhak. Who knows what that means in Hebrew? Yeah, laughter. So Isaac gets to go through life with the name Laughter. There could be worse names. But he carries in his name the memory of all of those years of waiting and hoping and waiting and being disappointed and waiting and hearing the promise again and waiting. And see, in the waiting, what so often happens is that all of the things that you thought were going to be lining up to make something happen, they don't seem to be there. There's a reason for that. It's called faith. And you go to Martin Luther and you ask, what is faith? And he says, well, faith is to believe the words and promises of God. Okay? It doesn't mean to believe and enjoy them because you see them and you always know because you always see them being fulfilled. It doesn't mean that you coast through life from one high point to another always knowing what's going to happen next. It means to believe the words and promises of God. And believing means you have to take those words and promises for the words and promises and trust them in spite of anything else that you might see, that you might hear, or that you might feel. So those words and promises of God, if it's going to be faith, and faith is to believe the words and promises of God, those words and promises very often will have to stand on their own. Nothing else besides them. Just the words and promises. And continuing on this path, this is what exercising faith is all about. And God arranges it this way so that at different points in our lives, other things that we're leaning on are taken out of the way. Other parts of it's great and it's enjoyable to to be a Christian, those parts might get removed for a while. And when that happens, what is going on is that God is saying simply the words and promises. Simply trust the words and promises. Hold to those. Because you know who spoke them. You know that He is faithful. You know His record. You know what happens when He speaks. Let there be light, and
there was light.
Exactly, there was light. You know who it is that's saying these things to you, and if He has promised, trust Him. How far can you go with that trust? How far can God push you with that trust? For Abraham and Sarah, it was into their 90s, still waiting for a child to be born. And when God is done getting us to the point where it is more impossible than impossible could ever be, we find ourselves in a place where we're not comfortable because we've never been there before, and it looks absolutely certain that it isn't going to be fulfilled, and that He acts. Explore that pattern with me just for a moment or two. It's not only Abraham and Sarah. It's the people of Israel coming out of Egypt. And where does God lead them? To an outcropping of land where you can have water on the left, water on the right, water ahead, and behind you, Egyptians with chariots and swords and spears, and they're coming. And when the people of Israel are now at the final point of despair, and Moses cries out to God, it's interesting how God answers. What's the commotion? Why are you crying out? Raise your staff above the water. And Moses does, and the seas parted, and they go through, and impossible as it can be. And you go on, and you go on, and you go on throughout the Bible, and you find this is the pattern, because God will be the God of grace, who doesn't have us helping Him out to make things happen, this plan of salvation. He's going to do it all by grace. So that you and I, we know it doesn't depend on us. We know that we don't have to crank up faith to make salvation happen. We know that it is all a gift. We know that it is all by grace. And being all by grace, then, well, we can, as God said to the people of Israel, be still and know that I am God. Or as Moses put it, be still. Let the Lord fight for you. It's an amazing thing. And again, you go to to Holy Week, and you get, I'm sorry, I'm coughing and hacking here. It is that allergy season. So you go to Holy Week, and at the end of Holy Week, the disciples see Jesus on the cross and then laid in the tomb, and they know what that's all about. Nobody rises from the dead. 3 days later, the women are there at the tomb. To do what? To anoint the dead body of Jesus. Bring more spices to cover the smell of the rotting flesh. It's at that point where it's absolutely impossible. It couldn't be. That's when they run into the angel that says, why do you look for the living one among the dead? That's where Mary Magdalene eyes filled with tears, not recognizing Jesus. You know, everything probably looked blurry at that point. Says, if you've taken him away, tell me. I'll go take him and take him away somewhere else. And then Jesus says, Mary. Suddenly everything's changed. We experience this in our lives with the surprises that God does, with having to wait for the fulfillment to actually happen, with wondering, does he know, does he see, does he hear, is he active, is he in my life, is he doing what he is supposed to do as God, and how far? How far can we step and walk and journey on this business called faith? Trust his word. That's the huge lesson. Trust his word. Because the history is this. In our lives, and in the Old Testament lesson, and with Abraham and Sarah, and with the people of Israel, the history is one of doubting and questioning. And in spite of the doubting and questioning, there's God acting. And time after time after time, this happens. And you begin to wonder, what's the pattern there? Well, the pattern is, God is going to act. He is going to do his things as God. And it does not depend on your faith or my faith to make it happen. He is going to do the fulfillment of the promise. Our choice is, it boils down to, so am I going to panic and then be surprised again? Or am I going to wait with quiet faith and then be surprised again? Looking back over the times of trial, which would you rather look back on in your life and see? Times of panic or times of quiet faith? So what are we going to do? And as we learn the pattern of quiet faith, God will still toss things in that make us wonder, make us question, make us have to stand simply on the words and promises. Because he wants for his Christians to simply hold on to his word. That's what the gospel lesson's about. Mary and Martha. Mary chose the best part, which was simply holding on to the word of God. What an amazing thing. Let me share with you one example of all of this. For those of you who... Okay, it comes from sports. Those of you who remember the Michael Jordan years, right? Mm-hmm. They're in a playoff game and he's sick. They're having to just about drag him off the court for his rest times. He's sweaty and shaky and getting sick there on the sidelines, and the Bulls are behind. Are you going to turn off the television?
No.
Why? Why don't you turn off the television? Because you're saying to yourself, I've seen them come back before. If I turn this off, I'm going to be the only one in this area of Chicago that missed it. So I'm going to wait and I'm going to watch. And if they come back, it's going to be one for the ages. Right? So when God arranges things in our lives that it looks like it's going off the rails, And he says, words and promises. Remember, words and promises. Are you going to put your Bible away? Stop worshiping, stop singing hymns, stop praying? The cool thing is, if you stay with it, you get to watch, once again, one for the ages, when, impossible as it can be, God acts. And you don't want to miss that one, do you? You want to enjoy every bit of seeing how our God of surprises, our God of grace, our God of the resurrection, our God of the cross and forgiveness, our God of eternal life and victory. You want to watch and experience every bit of how He finally works that out. Because it's going to be amazing. You can apply that in your life. You can apply that in church. You can apply that in the history and the situation in the world. Because see, if you open up that book called the Bible and take a sneak peek at the last page, I'll tell you the end. Okay? Jesus wins. And so do we. But you knew that, didn't you? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.